Romans 14. Got to meet a couple students in the school with Kay. One is her neighbor. His name is Mock. Now that's how they say it in New York City. Mock means Mark. Mock. He's about 6'3", 350 pounder, 45 years old. Got saved out of, he said, I wasn't in a mafia because I wasn't Italian. But he said, I was associated with them. He said, I wasn't in the Hell's Angels, but I was associated with them too. And he got quite a background. And there are a couple of them like that in the school. One guy was in the Hell's Angels. And the other one, Mock, he just went to both sides. And I might get him up to come up for our law course if we can get him to be able to come for that. And I'd like to have him give their testimony. But it shows you the backgrounds, different backgrounds the Lord can save people out of. Mark said that fortunately he didn't get into the killing. But his buddy did on the weekend, and he killed on a week for the job during the week for vacation, for a hobby. But that shows you the grace of God. Grace of God. And the Lord saves. And so these guys were real, Mark was a real blessing to be around. We had a real good time with him. He's a first-year student, so he's got two more years to go. And the thing is that these guys would come out of bad backgrounds, and it's nice to be able to ask them questions to help other people that came out of the same background. And so that's the blessing about being able to be around these folks. That you could ask them questions to help other people, because people need to get saved out of all different backgrounds, don't they? And so these guys, Mark, we asked him several things to be able to influence other people. Okay, Romans 14, just read the first five verses. It says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Vegetarian. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I want to preach on the subject this morning, things that you should be persuaded about. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do pray you'd help us all to realize that we need to know why we believe what we believe, be able to explain it, and so that we can give it out to others. Help us to be fully persuaded. Help us to be students of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, verse 5, that phrase, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, if you read the entire chapter, obviously you can see it's dealing with diet, eating. Now, if you study eating habits, diet, health things, you're going to find all sorts of different opinions and viewpoints. Somebody's going to say this is a cure-all. Another guy's going to say this is a cure-all. Another guy's going to say this is a cure-all. And usually the reason why they say that is because it helped them. Now, of course, we know that traditional medicine, they'll never admit that there's a cure for cancer, even though hundreds of people have been cured from cancer, because the AMA would lose too much money, the Cancer Society would lose too much money to let you know that you can be healed of cancer if you just change a few things and ignore usually the medical profession. Okay, but the idea is being fully persuaded. This chapter is about health. Now, it's amazing to me how most people live their life operating upon what was passed down from generation to generation. That's how most people live their life. I read this story about this lady that I don't know if she was cooking a roast or turkey or whatnot, but she would cut off a certain portion of it. And somebody watched her do that, and she wouldn't cook that part. She just cut it off and put it to the side. And they asked her, "Why do you do that?" She said, "I don't know, my mother did that." So they went to their mother and asked her why she did that. Cut off the same portion, of this meat that they were cooking. And she said, "I don't know, because my mother did that." So they went to the grandmother and asked her, "Why did you cut off that certain portion of the meat?" She said, "Because it didn't fit in my pan." Now, you see, all the others, the pans are probably big enough, but they didn't ask. You know, that's what most people, how they live their life. Most Americans, if you put a paper in front of them and ask them to sign it, they'll just sign it with no questions asked. Sign here.
Oh, okay.
And if you read the fine print, you're giving away your life. Some Americans, if you tell them to sign it and then stick their finger in their nose, they'd probably do that. No questions asked. Now, that's somebody who's brain dead. That is what you call sheep being led to the slaughter. That's how most people operate. Acts 19, verse 32 is very interesting and funny, actually a funny story. There's a bunch of people got mad at Paul because he was preaching against idols, and all these people in Acts 19, they made a good living making out of statues of Diana. And in Acts 19, everybody went to this theater that would seat about 50,000 people, and you got this guy named Demetrius, and you've got this coppersmith there, and for 2 hours, the people, all they did was they yelled for 2 hours, "Great is the goddess Diana, great is the goddess Diana, great is the goddess of Diana." In Acts 19:32, it says, "And the more part of them knew not why they were there." So, Ken, if you can imagine it, everybody's yelling, "Great is the goddess Diana," and the one guy looks at the other guy, he says, "Why are we doing this?" "I don't know." "What are we here for?" "I don't know." "Sure is fun, though, isn't it?" That's how most people live. The Bible says, "Be fully persuaded in your mind," in Romans 14, verse 5. Now, that's not the only place it says that. Now, we encourage at this place, in this church, I know it's different than the usual. We encourage you not to check your brain out at the door. We encourage you to keep it intact. Think. You ever seen them bumper stickers that says, "Think"? You got to tell people to think. Thinking is a lost art. People like going to the amusement parks. Do you know what amusement means? If you muse on something, that means to think about it, meditate. Amusement, what's that mean? Don't think about it. That's where you check your brain in at the ticket counter and your wallet, and then you go in and don't think for a solid day. Amusement. You put A in front of the word, that means the opposite. A theist believes in God. Atheist, don't believe in God. To muse, amuse. Americans are taught not to think. You go to the state colleges, you go to the schools, and you start asking questions, they will tell you, "Shut up, quit asking these questions. Don't think." See, and that's how this thing works. We want you to think. Somebody that cultist mentality is a brainless mentality. And we don't expect everybody to walk in and to believe what we believe. Don't believe what we believe unless you see it for yourself in the Bible. How many preachers would say that? Not too many. I don't think the Pope would say that. He wants you to follow him like sheep led to a slaughter. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." Prove it. Prove it, preacher. Acts 17, verse 11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scripture, received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Now, what I like to do, and I've done this for years, is I don't only preach what the Bible says, but I want to challenge you to study it out for yourself. Don't believe a word I say unless you can see it in the Bible for yourself. Know why you believe what you believe. Be able to explain it to anybody. 1 Peter 5, verse, or chapter 3, verse 8, 15 says that we ought to be ready to give a man an answer for the reason that's light up in me for the hope. What's that mean? Well, that means if you got brought into a court of law, you should be able to answer why you believe what you believe. And this is why. Can we do that? Very few can do that. Like a guy asked an elderly lady one time, what do you believe? She says, I believe what my church believes. Well, what does your church believe? My church believes what I believe. Well, what do you both of you believe? Well, we both believe the same thing. That's how people are. So we encourage you to bring a Bible to church. We encourage you to write in it. We encourage you to mark it up. We encourage you to study it throughout the week. We encourage you to find out for yourself what the Bible says. No middleman here except the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of the book. Give complete liberty in people's lives so that we don't have to be a stamped assembly line. See, some colleges you go to, Christian colleges, you can know which school they went to. What school did I go to? The Bible says, and for, automatically you know which school they went to. They're copying something. You ought never try to act like somebody. You ought never not try to act like somebody. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. These are areas you should be fully persuaded in. The first area is eternal things. The number one eternal thing you should be fully persuaded in your mind is salvation. Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Salvation. Do you know where you're going when you die? Most people in church this morning don't know where they're going when they die. I think they're weird. Why would they go to a place where the one behind the pulpit don't even know where they're going when they die? Would they fly in an airplane if the pilot said, well, I don't know where we're going, but we're going to make good time? Know where you're going when you die. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, the very first thing you show a new convert after they got saved is you show them very simple, clear verses in the Bible that you can know where you're going when you die. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Notice that. Assurance. That's better than insurance. Assurance of your salvation. Do you know where you're going when you die? Can you give Bible references? Do you have a written contract with God? Yeah. Sure do. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul knew where he was going when he died. Second Timothy 1 verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is committed unto me against that day. Try Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Romans 8, 38. A Christian cannot be a successful Christian unless they have assurance of their salvation. The reason why you see these charismatics up and down, up and down, up and down, this way all the time is because they don't know for sure they're going to heaven. If you don't believe me, ask them. They don't know. Romans 8, 38. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, that's pretty, that names everything. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Now, when you tell that to somebody, they think you're arrogant for saying that. But I believe they're arrogant for believing what they believe. I know I'm a worthless scumbag, and I've placed my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm trusting Him for my ticket for heaven, and that is where my trust is. Who do they trust? Themselves. They think they're as good as Jesus Christ. Now, who's arrogant, them or me? Get some very simple verses in the Bible. Memorize these things. Know for sure your salvation. Don't go on a half thinking or 90% or 99% assurance. Make sure you are 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die. 99% isn't good enough. You say, well, that ain't too bad. Rat poison is 99.995% nutritious. It kills rats. If it's good. Most of them don't. It's supposed to kill rats. This Bible is 100%. Acts 16:31, great verse to memorize. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Excellent. Man, great stuff. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple, very clear. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not might, not possibility, not a guess. Guaranteed. John 1:12. Got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But them that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? John 1:12. Gears are stripping there on that one. Let me get it for you. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Become God's son. John 3:16, obviously. Very clear one. In a King James Bible, it's clear. I mean, that's very clear in a King James Bible. In an NIV, it's a lie. It's a bald-faced lie. But in a King James Bible, for God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Man, great salvation verses. John 10:28, the Lord says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. Great, simple plans of salvation, very simple verses. Ephesians 2:8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Make sure, be fully persuaded in your mind in regards to salvation. That's obviously our number one thing we like to major in. Why? Because it says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus Christ came so that we can know for sure we're going to heaven. Simple salvation. Believe God. Just believe God in those things. Okay, so that's salvation. The second thing is the Scriptures. Look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. The Scriptures. Philippians 2:16. Now, if you go to the average Christian school in America, college I'm referring to, Protestant in particular, whether they're conservative or liberal, doesn't matter. Usually they'll have a statement of faith. In the statement of faith, it will usually have number one or number two, usually right up there at the top, that they believe the Scriptures are inspired of God. And the Bible is a final authority for all matters of faith and practice. That's a great profession. But when you read the fine print, read exactly what they say. They'll say something like this: the Scriptures are inspired of God as they were in the original autographs and are our complete final authority for all matters of faith and practice. You say, well, that sounds pretty good. It doesn't cut the mustard. Why? They have just said that the Scriptures are only the original autographs. That's their final authority. They've never seen the original autographs. If they were to be honest, they would write, the Scriptures was inspired of God in the original autographs. And if we had them, they would be our final authority for all matters of faith and practice. But since we don't have them, we become the final authority for all matters of faith and practice, so we're just living by guesswork. But how many students would they get if they did it that way? You see, everything you and I believe hinges upon the preservation of God's words. Everything. In fact, it is so important when the Lord defined the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He said according to the Scriptures twice. my very salvation. My God not only can preserve his words, because he can preserve his words, he can preserve my soul. I mean, I know he's preserved the words, therefore he can preserve my soul. Philippians 2 verse 16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I can hold in my hands the word of life. I've got it. Right there. Right there is the word of life. Life is found in this book. Jesus Christ said, I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly. He said in John 63, the words that I speak on you, they are spirit and life. Right here is the life. Jesus Christ gave us the life right here. I can hold it in my hand. I can't hold the original autographs. I can hold this. Matthew 24, 35. Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Here they are. These are the Lord's words right there. I wonder if these people that believe that God doesn't have a perfect Bible on earth, what if their salvation verse that they're trusting in, what if that wasn't translated correctly? They got a major problem. Major problem. Everything rises and falls on this book right here. Preservation. God promised in this book, Psalms 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Right there they are. Boy, I'm glad God did that. Most of these folks believe that God took the effort to inspire the book and then done lost it. I asked one of these guys who's a new King Jimmy feller. We got into a subject. He brought it up, so I had to complete the subject. And I asked him this question. I said, sir, if you were a king on an island, you were the king. You wrote the laws. Would you preserve those laws from being changed by anybody? He said, well, of course. I said, why don't you think God did that? Are you smarter than God? No answer. God inspired a book and then preserved it, even though a bunch of people don't like it. And I can hold it in my hands. I'm so glad I can hold it in my hands. Titus 1 verse 9. Titus 1 verse 9. He says, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. I can hold it in my hand. Now, I didn't believe that all my life. I got my face shaken when I went to school and they told me that this book wasn't perfect. I've been on both sides of that fence. Found out that this book right here, I became fully persuaded in my mind, can prove it without beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this book right here is without flaw. This is my final authority. Everything I believe should come right out of this book. Got some basis, some backing of it right here. And this right here, if you're not fully persuaded in that, we can help you. We can help you. You say, yeah, but I'm not fully persuaded in it. Oh, we give liberty. We got some folks that have branded me a cultist. One guy said, if you go to his church and carry an NIV, he'll rip it out of your hands. No, I believe in private property. That's your book. Whether it's true or not, that's beside the point. I have traded many a man an NIV for a King James Bible after I showed him what was wrong with his Bible. He said, what'd you do with his? Oh, probably trashed it, threw it in a garbage can where it belongs. Why? It's got missing verses. 16 from Matthew to Romans. Completely taken out. See? We believe in liberty. Don't believe a word I say unless you're fully persuaded in your mind. Check it out for yourself. The third area on eternal things is sanctification. Standards, convictions. Now, some of our standards, convictions are going to be different. And because they're different doesn't mean that we're mad at each other. If I come to your house and eat a meal, if there's something I don't like, I'm not going to stand on top of your table and say, I don't like that food! And I'm not going to come back here and eat it anymore! No, I'm going to eat what I like, and I'll probably take second helpings of what I like. Now, if I don't like it, I might try to put her down, but that's how she goes. And so the thing is we accept what we can fully be persuaded in our mind. And if we can't accept it, don't worry about it. Study it out further on your own. Colossians 2 verse 6, it says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, walk ye in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith. Now, of course, when you get into sanctification or convictions or standards, man, we can go unlimited. You know, in different areas, different ways, how to raise your family. Things like that. All sorts of different things. Whatever it is, be fully persuaded in what you do. Know why you do it. You know, as far as education goes. Okay, let's pick on education just for one area. Our family has chosen to homeschool our children. That's what we chose. Now, what you chose as a parent, that's your business. Whether you do homeschooling, whether you want to do Christian schooling, private schooling, whether you want to do public schooling, that's your business. I'm fully persuaded in what we're doing. Fully persuaded. Now, each chooses. Now, whatever choice you choose, make sure you get your nose in there and get involved. If it's public school, you best get your nose in there and read those textbooks. And read what your child's being taught. And show them what's wrong with them. Yeah. And in homeschooling, the same thing. The curriculum of homeschooling, that doesn't guarantee it's right. I've yet to see a homeschooling curriculum that is biblically sound doctrine. King James sound doctrine, it'll have some good things in it, but the thing is you got to be fully persuaded. Okay, in any area of your life, as far as sanctification goes, how about music? Rock music. See, preaching against rock music. What kind of rock music? Any of it, you name it. Well, you say, I'm not convinced. Okay, then let's study out the Bible and find out why you think yours is right. Oh, I think Striper's good to listen to. I think they could bring people to Christ. Motley Crue would think different. I think it was a Motley Crue. They took a tour with one of these heavy metal Christian rock groups. I don't know if it was Striper, Petra, or which one of them knuckleheads. And they had a heaven-hell tour. Motley Crue preached about hell. The other one preached about heaven. And afterwards, they partied and drank. Who did? The Christians. And the Motley Crue band members said they could drink just as good as we can. Fine, upstanding Christians. We said, I'm not convinced. Okay, then study it out. Search it out. We believe in liberty. Search the thing out. Grow on the Lord. I saw one of these guys, he had a t-shirt on. Our rock is not as their rock. Our rock. Rock music is not as their rock. Rock music. I think he better read that verse again. Totally misapplying that verse. But if he's convinced, he'll answer to God for him. I'll answer to God for me. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Okay, now those are eternal things. Just a few areas on eternal things. Now, how about earthly things? Be fully persuaded. How about in your family? Okay, if you're single and maybe you're going to get married in a few short years, you best be fully persuaded. You got one shot at this happy marriage. You best be fully persuaded. Now, what's done is done in the past. You can still pick up from there. But if you're new in this thing, you best get both eyes wide open. Both eyes. And if you see a prospect, you best check out the parents. You best look at them. 20 years from now, I don't know about this. You best divorce your emotions from this thing. And a child best be very close to their parents and ask mom and dad for advice. Americans, they think when a kid turns 18, he's on their own. That's when they need you more than any time. 18, 19, 20, 21, and 40 when they get married. That's our rules. Do you have sound basis for that? Yes, Isaac. 40 years old. No, you best really, like they say, when you get seeking to get married, go in with both eyes wide open. When you get married, close one eye. I heard that. Yeah. Well, I'd say Psalm 34, verse 3 is a great marriage proposal. Psalms 34, verse 3. Americans' marriage thing, the dating game, is a rotten game to play. It's a failure. Now, thank God some of us went through that, and the Lord has been gracious. But Psalms 34, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Isn't that a great marriage proposal? Find somebody that you can live your life with them and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ together as a team. Instead of the usual marriage song, "The fight is on, oh Christian soldier," you know, and so forth, so on. Like a little boy asks his dad, "Dad, what's a weapon?" He says, "It's something you fight with." "Is mom your weapon?" Sad but true. Now, obviously, we're living in a day and age where it's apostate, and you get to wonder, boy, can the Lord put a happy marriage together? Pure people? Yes, he can. Ruth lived in the same type of society we're living in. Ruth was a virtuous woman. Ruth had a marriage with Boaz, and the Lord arranged the marriage, and they say marriages are made in heaven. If you're seeking the will of God, the Lord will do that. Now make sure you're seeking it according to the way the Lord wants you to seek it. And hope that God doesn't send you a message like he sent Hosea. Shazam. Marry that thing? But that's what God did with Hosea. Now, as far as our family, you need to be fully persuaded. You need to express love to your family, your kids. "I love you" ought to be just a regular occurrence with them. Love your children. Enjoy your children instead of enduring them. Enjoy them. Win their hearts. When they're small, play with them. When they're big, play with them. Enjoy them. Most Americans endure their kids. Desire the best for your children. Develop their personality. Forget the possessions. Develop their character. Forget popularity. Forget that. Teach them to be honest. Teach them to be sincere. Teach them to be content. Oh, contentment. Teach them to be content. "I want this. I want that. I want this." Teach them to be grateful for what they have. Teach them that they don't have to spend money to have a good time. Teach them that they can go out in a forest and get a stick and make a gun. Yes, that's right, a gun. For the boys to play with. A gun to shoot each other with. I know in America it's getting crazy. If you take a piece of French fry and point it at somebody, you get kicked out of school if you go bang bang with your French fry. You say it's stupid. I know a boy did get kicked out of school because he took a French fry and was teasing with somebody and said bang bang with his French fry. So now we have to have French fry gun control bills. But teach them that they could go out and get in the mud and play in the dirt and have a good time. Yeah. Teach them sincerity, contentment, gratitude. Laugh with them, enjoy them, love them. Well, the kids don't want you to be working extra hours so that you can get a nice toy for them. They're going to throw the toy away anyway and play with the box. Go to the grocery store and get the boxes. Play with the box. Teach them their how to have creativity by creating games instead of buying everything for them. Contentment, gratitude. Teach them to say thank you for everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Be fully persuaded that your children are God's gift from God's gift to you, and you need to train them up in the ways of the Lord. Enjoy them, love them. Those are earthly things we should be fully persuaded. Another area is health. I haven't preached about health for a while. Let's try it again. How many mamas would take a glass of water and take 11 teaspoons of white sugar, put it in a glass of water, stir it up, and give it to your children to drink? How many dads would? Yeah, there we go. Okay, how many dads would do that? Okay, one. Well, he's consistent. But that's what pop is. You say, you against pop? Study it out. Be fully persuaded in your own mind. Be fully persuaded. We exhale carbon dioxide, but yet we... Interesting. Then we gripe about our aches and pains. You know what? If we studied for our own selves and find out what's going on in our country, the average American diet that is being told you and me that is healthy for us is designed to keep the doctors wealthy and to take you out at a young age. You go to the average care center, you will start seeing 30 and 40-year-old people in there. Why? Because of the immunization program in this country and the diet that we're being taught. Four food groups, healthy? I beg to differ. Not all at once. Maybe different parts of it at different times. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. Do all for the glory of God. All I'm saying is search it out for yourself. Experiment. Find out yourself. Now, this is the most difficult area. That's why Romans 14 throws that phrase in there. The most difficult area is to study health things. The cure for cancer? A lot of people have been cured for cancer. AIDS? A lot of people have been cured from AIDS. From who? Not the medical profession. Why? They would lose too much money. The love of money is the root of all evil. You say, are people that evil? Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, they are. And so the thing is drink pure water. Holy go to the tap. How do you know it's pure? Check it out for yourself. Most of your food should be live food. Not a live rabbit running around, but a live food. Raw fruits and vegetables. Check these things out for yourself. Check your own body out. See if you get more energy. Now, there are certain times of the year I plan to eat too much. Thanksgiving's one of those days. Food combinations, forget that on Thanksgiving Day. And Thanksgiving afternoon, how are we all feeling? Why? Because we ate the wrong types of foods and too much of it. Our food should give us energy. Should give us energy. The thing is, all I'm saying is study the thing out for yourself. Study it out for yourself. And the third area, the last area of earthly things is the law. I wish our law class was free. I wish it was. I wish that we could tape it. But Gene just doesn't feel comfortable with that. I wish we could tape it and then you could take it home and study it at your own leisure. Taking 2 weeks off, I know for the average person that is a mind-boggling thing. It was for me when I first did it. But I'm so glad to learn the law of our country. We have I know our country's in a funny situation, but we still have the laws on our side.
And you have tremendous power as an American citizen, a citizen of the United States, if you just know the law. In Acts chapter 22, when you read Acts 22, verse 25 to 29, the Apostle Paul was feared by public servants because he knew the law. And they have the same law structure that what we have right now. And when you hear people say, it's the law, 99 times out of 100, that is not true. Especially by the public servants. Servants. Make sure they understand they're servants. You are the master. Make them serve you. Tell them that. They have placed themselves below you and me, and we need to act like the masters. And the only way we do that is we get knowledge of the law. But don't do anything unless you're fully persuaded. Don't do a thing. Don't change a thing in your life unless you're fully persuaded. And that may take a while. When I first started studying this stuff, my brain was going like this. And I thought it took me 2 to 3 years before I did anything. Because I wasn't going to do a thing until I was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. And that's what we need to be as Americans. Boy, I tell you, the heritage that we have been given, our founding fathers have paid an awful price for their commitment. The price that they paid, we should not squander that price that they paid. We should not give it up just at a whim. We should stand for the truth, and we should stand for the law in our land, and we should tell these unlawful people that they are not doing right and give them forewarning. If they don't do right, then we should use the law to do the proper things. But don't do anything unless you're fully persuaded. I mean, you got to know the ins and outs. And a lot of times you may get into it and you realize, well, I didn't even know what I was getting into. And that's the case. Be fully persuaded. These are earthly things down here that I do believe that we ought to be fully persuaded. Now, if somebody doesn't see it the way you see it, as a Christian, we should have some grace. We're all at different levels. How many of you got saved more than 30 years ago? So we look at those hands. Saved more than 30 years ago. I've got saved more than 30 years ago. How many have been saved for less than 5 years? Here we got one. A couple more. Do we expect this level to be all the same? We can't expect that. We can't expect that. And so the thing is, we love each other, but we're all striving to be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded of salvation. Fully persuaded about that book. Fully persuaded about our life. Fully persuaded on our family. Fully persuaded of what we're doing, why we do it, when we do it, for what reason we do it. Fully persuaded for our country. Pray for our country. Pray that God would somehow pardon this country, even though all the wretchedness that's going on in this country, and it ought to make us sigh and cry. Our founding fathers, if they saw what we see right now, it would probably said, forget it. It probably said, forget it. Oh, we need a revival in our country. And the only way we do it is when we're fully persuaded. So let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Salvation. Fully persuaded in the scriptures. Fully persuaded on anything that we do. God, I pray you'd help us to see it in the Bible for ourselves. Know what we believe. Why we believe it. And Lord, just be a blessing to thee. While heads bowed and eyes are closed, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, please become fully persuaded in that area. We would be glad to help anybody in that area. The joy that I have in my heart because I know I'm going to heaven, I want everyone to have that joy. We can't force it on anybody. We can't make them do it. We can just tell them what we know, and hopefully they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they have assurance in their heart of salvation. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, you're saying, preacher, I'm not sure of that.
by an uplifted hand. All you're doing is you're asking me to pray for you. Nobody's looking around, and I like to do that so that you can be 100% sure, so that you can be fully, fully persuaded in your mind. Anyone in here? You don't know for sure you're going to heaven. You're saying, would you pray for me, preacher? Okay, any other area of life, fully persuaded, fully persuaded. Any other areas? The instruments plays, the altar's open if you need it. Fully persuaded, fully persuaded. This is what I believe. This is why I believe it. This is where it came from. This is what I've experienced. If you have other information that helps me out with that, I'm all ears. I'm all ears. Interested in truth. The whole truth. All truth. Always seeking to grow. Study more. Know more. Search more. Father, please. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you've given us a book so we could know what we're supposed to believe, a know-so salvation. Not guess, not hope, not maybe, not might. Know it. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.